Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, and I'll be reading from the NIV. So chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and she gave him the name Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to gather as a church to sing praises and to learn from your word. We pray that you speak through our speaker today and that we will receive your message with an open heart. We also pray for child minding, that the children can experience your blessings over them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bye-bye, Jax. We'll see you later. Good morning, church. In a week and a half's time, Christmas will be here. So as we continue to prepare ourselves to welcome Jesus Christ, we remember the gifts that he has brought to us. In the past two Sundays, we remember the gift of hope, the gift of peace. And this is the third Sunday of Advent, and we want to thank Jesus for the gift of joy. So let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, once again we come before you and thank you for your coming. And as we prepare ourselves for this great day of Christmas, our hearts are filled with hope, filled with peace. And this morning, we especially remember this gift of joy. This is the day that you have made. And we do want to rejoice and be glad in this day. Not only at Christmas season, but all year round. And so we thank you. And we pray that all of us can really rejoice in you for the gift of salvation you have bestowed, you have given to each one of us. Thank you, O Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now it is my great pleasure to welcome our old friend. I like to emphasize the word old, not in terms of age, but in terms of the number of years that our church has come to know Pastor David Chan. He used to serve at our mother church, Vancouver PG. He used to be the senior pastor at that church for 20 years, right? Yeah, and now he's serving as one of the vice presidents of the Alliance Bible Seminary in Hong Kong. And so it is our great pleasure, my honor, to welcome my friend in God's Kingdom Ministry, Pastor David Chan.
Thank you, Reverend Lam. It is a pleasure for me to be invited and speak in the English worship of the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church. I still remember 25 years ago that this church was first planted out from the Pacific Grace, at that time Pacific Grace Chinese Church, and now Pacific Grace MB Church. And I think that you are celebrating 25 years, right? This year, 25 years. So, you know, next year. And so really like to congratulate you, you know, for, well, this, I cannot say this is a new building, but this is, in a sense, a new building compared to the old Ellesmere one. Is it Ellesmere? Yeah, I think Ellesmere. And how many of you were in Ellesmere? Oh, quite a number, huh? I'm sure that, how many of you were born, you know, before the church was established? Born, before. Before, after. Okay. Wow, we got a group of young people here. Great. Okay, let's go back to the Bible. And less than 2 weeks, as Reverend Lam just mentioned, Christmas will arrive. And what do you think about this Christmas? This is my 27th Christmas in Vancouver. You know, I was thrilled by the decorations when I first arrived 27 years ago. Now, of course, it was no comparison to the decorations in many other cities, like, for example, in Hong Kong or maybe in New York. But definitely was much better than that of Winnipeg, where I spent, you know, 4 Christmas there. The light on Robson Square and special decorations in many houses, you know, the Christmas trees in fantasy gardens or even in the malls, and they were beautiful when you saw them for the first time. But after a few years, and actually after 20-some years, those once exquisite lightlings didn't seem to be attractive to me anymore, because simply they are not new. You have seen them before. I don't know whether that is your feeling this Christmas. It is a new Christmas, but old lightlings, including those in your house. Now, this arrangement might not be too appealing to our senses, yet it quite fit Christmas. Christmas is celebrated on December 25th, traditionally, and at the end of an old year and the beginning of a new year. So, in a way, Christmas leads us through the old into the new, while yet stationing in the past, it focuses our attentions to the future. Now, not only the timing of Christmas merges the old and the new together, the meaning of Christmas also combines the old and the new. The birth of Christ is the climactic fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. The appearing of Christ is the unveiling of the mystery hidden in the Old Testament. The emerging of Christ is the realization of the type signifying and pointing to Christ in the Old Testament. So the merging of old and new could be best found in the narrative account of Jesus in the first 2 chapters of Matthew. Now, when Matthew wrote his gospel, he wrote it with a distinct purpose of trying to portray to the Jews that the Jesus they crucified was indeed the promised Messiah. A common word used in this gospel was fulfilled. No less than 60 times, the word was used to describe the coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ himself was indeed portrayed in many different ways in the Old Testament. Now, we might not be in total agreement with Matthew as he used some of these passages from the Old Testament to refer it to Christ. Because we went back to the Old Testament, the original context, the original intent of the author might not necessarily be that crystal clear as pointing to Christ. Yet the fact that Christ was indeed a figure that crosses the old to the new is definitely undeniable. So in this Christmas, as we look at the old lightnings, singing the old Christmas carols, let us remember Christ indeed come and bring a new meaning to the old. And let us try to see some Old Testament passages to give some new message to this Christmas from Matthew chapter 1 and 2. Now, the first Old Testament passage is from Matthew chapter 1, 23. It was taken from Isaiah 7, 14. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, I guess this is the best interpretations, you know, taken from the old by Matthew, because this was what the angel said, so it must not be wrong. Now, that was taken from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you houses of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Now, the context of the passage in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 7, was while Ahaz became the king of Judah, he was faced with great oppositions from a Gentile nations, Aram, and his sister nations, Israel. Because of that, the hearts of Ahaz and his people, according to the Bible, were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Isaiah was asked to go to affirm and to encourage Ahaz. He told the king this message: "Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid." That means be careful, be calm, and be cool. Do not lose heart. However, Ahaz did not quite believe. So Isaiah was asked to give him a sign. The sign was that a virgin, now of course that was the interpretation or the translation there, okay? It was argued whether it should be just a girl or just a virgin. But anyway, let's take the translation as a virgin. A virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And before that boy grew up, Ahaz's enemies, those from Aram as well as Israel, will be destroyed. Now, of course, the boy mentioned there was not necessarily meant to be Jesus by Isaiah, as understood also by Ahaz. But actually, if you look at chapter 8 of Isaiah, it might mean a boy born to Isaiah himself. Now here, Matthew and even the angel add a new meaning to this old passage. To Ahaz, the sign affirmed God will be with him and destroy his enemies, strengthening him so he could win over his opponents. Emmanuel is more so a presence in spirit, a help from above. However, in Matthew, this Emmanuel, the message of Emmanuel, is not only a presence in spirit, but also a presence in body, incarnation. Not only a help from above, but a help from around. It is not only a high from earth message. It is rather a down to earth message. As in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, which talk about Christ. Christ was made to like his brothers in every way, in order he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Now, and because of this message, we need to be careful, because God lives among us. He is close to us. He is with us. We need to be careful. Now, of course, every Christmas season, the police will raise the consciousness of the drivers to safe driving, especially warning us, don't drink and drive at the same time. Be careful, because there are people around you. The message of Emmanuel is, be careful. God is with you. God is not only high, high above. God is around you. Now, of course, God is with us because God comes as a man 2,000 some years ago. Be careful. Not only that, be calm. The word rushed is always related to Christmas. You know, the rush for gifts, the rush to meet deadlines, the rush to juggle around the festivity schedule, you know, from one party to another party, you know, from one meal to another meal. The busyness is the norm of Christmas, it seems that. You know, we are trying to fulfill many human responsibilities, trying to maintain relationship, you know, thanks for the e-cards, okay? We don't need to really write cards anymore. You know, Emmanuel, but be calm in the midst of the rush. Because there is a higher level of relationship, a higher level of responsibilities we need to fulfill. Be careful. Be calm. Be cool. Don't be afraid. You know, when I was around your age, maybe, okay, I remember seeing a movie. Many of you might have seen that movie before, okay? Home Alone, right? You know, the boy was accidentally left home alone and had to face two burglars all by himself while his whole family went for a vacation in Paris. I'm talking about Home Alone 1, right? The movie was quite entertaining. But if it happened in real life, it would not be. Home alone is not a nice feeling. Christmas is the season in which most people commit suicide. Especially lonely people. But the message of Emmanuel is, do not be afraid. Be cool. You are not alone. Be calm. Be cool. Be careful. And lastly, the message is, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. You know, I watch the NBC Nightly News almost every day because I like Brian Williams. Okay, not only he is good looking, but I think that, you know, you look at him, this guy seems very trustworthy. But anyway, you know, I still remember that one time they put out this, the person of the week, every Friday. Usually on that day, you know, it depicts someone who not necessarily make the world or a city, you know, a headline, but someone who warms one's heart by maybe a little gesture of goodwill, a little gesture of kindness, a little gesture of good deeds. You know, watching news the other day, you know, many times is to keep us update. But many times it's a very frustrating and even down-hardening experience. We can be we can lose heart. You know, for those who, like me, come from Hong Kong for the last 75 days, watching the news from Hong Kong, or even hearing the news, the so-called Occupy movement in Hong Kong, can be very downhearted. But it is good that, you know, once in a while, you choose a person of the week, or at least a month, or maybe even a year, or a decade, or even a century. And if you are going to choose a person of history that could really help us not to lose heart, that is Emmanuel. That is the person who comes down to earth, not stay high above. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Be calm, be cool, and be careful, but do not lose heart, because a new message of this old Christmas is a down-to-earth message. And then the second passage is recorded in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. It was taken from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Let me read to you. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then it was taken from Micah, chapter 5, 1, 2. Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Now the message seems to be quite simple. A small, inconspicuous, unknown city came as a great and universal king. A low to high message. You know, people in the world look at the outside. Even I look at the outside, you know. Bryan Williams is good looking, so I watch him. The message of Christmas can be illustrated by the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. No to high. No, you're celebrating 25 years next year, because I think that around 50 people to 70 people, you know, came out from Pacific Grace Chinese Church in 1990, and then planned the Burnaby Pacific Grace. But this year, 1989, is a very commemorative year, because in 1989, 25 years ago, right, June 4th, the Tiananmen Square. In 1989, the Berlin Wall broke down. But in Canada, on December 6, 1989, there were a massacre in Montreal. Some of you might still remember it. You know, a polytech school, you know, a very famous polytech school in Montreal. A guy came in and then singled out in a classroom the male and the female, and then he shot 17 women there. And this year they commemorate that. They want to make sure that no more assault, no more oppression, no more looking down upon, and no more violence against women. And the effort needs to be applauded. But the Bible started long time ago in the first book of the New Testament. Look at the genealogy. Four women were mentioned. Now, not only four women were mentioned. Now, of course, you say that what's so special about mentioning women, okay? But it was special 2,000 years ago when the Bible was written, because women at that time were looked down upon. They don't need, or Matthew did not need to mention these four women, not to say that what kinds of women they were. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Uriah's wife. They were either Gentiles who were classified as the same class as dogs. Not only many of them were Gentiles, many of them commit indecent sexual acts. Tamar commit incestuous relationship with her father-in-law. Rahab was a prostitute. Bathsheba had adulterous relationship with David the king. Sometimes I wonder if God really had to emancipate, really had to elevate, really had to uplift the status of women. He could just ask Matthew to mention people like Sarah, Rebecca, or Leah, right? They were basically the mother of some of the men mentioned there. There's no need to mention people like Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, or Bathsheba. Definitely they were not perfect. And definitely, Sarah, Rebecca, Nia were more perfect than they. Better than they. How come that these four women were mentioned? I think Matthew deliberately mentioned them instead of those quote unquote more glorious women, because he wanted to show us out of the low they were being uplifted. Out from the low, like Bethlehem, they were being singled out and exalted. Out from the looked down upon came a glorious Messiah Savior. God came down to show us he liked to exalt those who were low to high. Bethlehem used to be the least among the rulers of Judah, yet a ruler will come out from it. My dear church, how do you feel about yourself today? You feel low? You feel depressed? You feel discouraged? You feel disillusioned? You feel disheartened? God will lift you up. God can lift you up. God will lift you up. God wants to lift you up. And we need to lift up those disadvantaged people. I think this is the second new message I hope that you can bring home this Christmas. The third passage was taken from Matthew chapter 2, 15, which is a quotation from Hosea 11, 1. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord has said through the prophet, out of Egypt I call my son. Of course, that phrase was taken from Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I love him. And out of Egypt, I call my son. We all know the story, right? After the wise men left, an angel of the Lord warned Joseph to leave Bethlehem and escape to Egypt. Stay in Egypt until it is safe to leave. And when they left Egypt after the death of Herod, Matthew quoted Hosea 11 verse 1 to kind of refer to this instance. When Israel was a child, I love him, and out of Egypt I call my son. Now, this quotation definitely did not fit the original intention of the Old Testament passage, which basically refers to the Exodus experience. Okay, there was a movie coming out, right? Okay, what do we call that? Exodus? The king and the God, the God and the king, something like that? Yeah, okay, but I was told that, you know, it was totally out of context of the Bible. You know, they changed the whole thing. But anyway, you know, I'm not suggesting whether you should see it or not see it, okay? Anyway, back to the Bible. You know, the Old Testament passage refers to all the Exodus experiences of the Israelites under Moses' leadership. However, it can be argued that it fit the mission of the Savior, who was to save his people from their sin. As Moses led the people out of Egypt, led them out of bondage, led them out of prison, led them out of slavery, led them out of shackles, and gave them freedom, Christ came and led not only the people of Hebrew origins, not only led the Israelite people, but also led the whole world out of sin into freedom. Out of Egypt I call my son. Yes, originally referred to the Israelites in the Old Testament. But here it refers to Jesus in the New Testament. And now through Christ, that applied to every one of us here, every Christians, every one of us here, and every one of those who are willing to accept Christ. Christ comes so that we could be free. When we think of freedom this Christmas, I'm sure that sometimes the image of hostages taken by the so-called ISIS, right, might come to our mind. When they were even being persecuted or even executed, you know, in front of the television. And we feel sad about it. But I remember, you know, when I first came to this city at 1987, at that time, there was a hostage, American journalist called Terry Anderson, was taken into captivity since 1984 and was released in 1991 after 2,455 days. Over 6 years, almost 7 years of captivity in Beirut, Lebanon. And after he was released, he was asked these questions. Out of those 2,455 days, which is the worst day? He said it was the Christmas of 1986. Because all the hostages could not talk to each other. But Anderson had learned sign language, you know, in high school. So he taught his fellow captives the sign language. And they used that to communicate with each other. But on that day, calamity struck. He took off his glass, he dropped his glass, he broke his glass. And because, you know, he had, you know, a very weak sight, and he could not see. There was no communication. And not only that, and just could not see each other, could not communicate with each other. You know, we are glad that we are not hostages. We should pray for those hostages. But we need to be mindful that we are not hostages because of Jesus Christ, which is the best Christmas you have. Not to say that which is the worst Christmas you have. You know, I remember that when I was joining a Christmas dinner, you know, with the Chinese ministerials on December the 8th under the Vancouver Chinese Ministerial Fellowship, okay, in the Fortune House in, is it Fortune House? I think Fortune Restaurant in Metro Town. And then three colleagues came out. They were asked to come out and share about the best Christmas they have. I remember the first colleague talked about, you know, the first Christmas when he was still a college student and how he spread the gospel of the Lord. And then the second colleague talked about that in that Christmas when he attended a wedding. And then he was very worried because he was asked to sing in an opera because, you know, the opera singer, you know, could not make it on that day and could not make it because of a sore throat. And then he was asked to sing. And then he said, you know, I know, but I'm not the best singer. And then he tried to call, you know, a pastor who lived in Macau, but of no avail because, you know, he know that pastor could sing much better than he. And when he, you know, with his weary heart, you know, came to that wedding, he looked at the bulletin. He opened the bulletin. He found out that the person who is going to sing that wedding is that pastor. And then he just could not stop his tears. He said, God, you know, you're so gracious. You're so miraculous. Up to a point that, you know, even people, you know, kind of mistaken that, you know, might be, you know, his ex-girlfriend is getting married. But anyway, and out of that, you know, he just gave himself to the Lord. Out of that, he gave himself to the Lord in that Christmas. That is his best Christmas. And he became a pastor, not a musician. After all, he is not a very good opera singer anyway. And then thirdly, the wife of Reverend Hui, the former senior pastor of North Shore Pacific Grace MB Church, came out and told us the best Christmas he had was the last Christmas that Reverend Hui was still on earth. They had a good time in Hong Kong. And then at the end, she said, I and my children are first-class citizens in the kingdom. Why? Because the Bible said, God is a God of widow. God is a God of those children who lost their parents. Freedom. Free to live. Even though there are times that, you know, you feel that you are born with your own sorrow. You are born with your own limitations. But God will set you free. Last but not least, Matthew chapter 2, 18. Jeremiah 31, 15. You know, then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And then this was taken from Jeremiah 31, 15. This is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. The message is born to die. Down to earth, no to live, free to live, no to hide, free to live, and born to die. You know, the last passage is not a passage that we want to deal with, right? A passage signifying the death of children is indeed the fulfillment of a prophecy. The story did indeed create an ethical problem. Why some babies had to die because of Jesus? Is it better for the wise man not to come? So this tragic event need not happen? And if there was no star in the first place, then the wise man would not come. Who put the stars there? God put the stars there. Why God need to put the stars there? Why? For the gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Then so many children need to die. Now, there are a few approaches or answers to explain this. First of all, Herod was a cruel king, according to history. So this kind of instance was not unusual in the first place. Furthermore, Bethlehem is a small town. So we are not talking about lots of children, lots of babies. Thirdly, this passage helps in reinforce the idea that children die before voluntary sinful actions should be acceptable in God's eyes. Now, despite all the above, one still has to struggle with the relationship of death of these innocent babies with the birth of Christ. Is it possible God is using this instance to hint to us that baby Jesus, though causing death of innocent babies, one day will, like this baby, die an innocent death, born to die? I don't know whether you accept this explanation, but sometimes we cannot explain why Jesus had to die. The message of Christmas is someone come down to earth, live us from low to high, give us a freedom to live, because about 2,000 years ago, he was born to die. I hope that would give you a new meaning in this new Christmas as you look around at the old decorations and old lightings. God bless you, and Merry Christmas.